Who more than self? Yeah, country loved. Singing something like this. Listen here.
There you go, a little bit of Ray Charles for you this morning, September the 11th. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us this Wednesday morning, the 18th anniversary of 911. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with immigration and security expert Neville Kramer on how our border and immigration policies have evolved ever since that fateful day 18 years ago. We will also find out what Neville thinks about Donald Trump's efforts to build that southern border wall. So stay tuned for that. And later in the show, we're going to get a look at what everyday Americans are thinking on this day about 9/11. I mean, 18 years ago, a lot of these young people had no idea what happened. They did not experience it. But we're gonna talk about that with everyday American thinking, as well as about Trump and all those Democrats running for president, as Andrew, the master barber, is back. Yes, he is. He will join us with his barber pole. What the common everyday American thinks about things going on in this country and in our Ultimate 10, yes indeed, Freedom Works Ultimate 10, or should I say Ultimate Top 10, that's what we mean. The Ultimate Top 10, we're going to bring you Hollywood's top 10 highest paid actors in the past year. And I want to see if any of your favorites make the list. I want to see if Big Ed knows who's number one. I have a hunch he may, but we will find out. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you gotta visit his place in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It's just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. It's a great haircut at a price that cannot be beat. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, a lot going on today, needless to say, and all over the country, people are stopping and commemorating what happened 18 years ago. Everybody old enough remembers what they were doing at that point. Ed's nodding. Ed, what were you doing 18 years ago? Do you remember? Or dare I ask you, I can tell you what I was doing, but I want to hear what you were doing.
I had just turned 18 years old.
Well, I don't know. You're just an old-looking 36.
Yeah, that would make me 36. I don't think so. Actually, I was working overnights at an FM station, so I slept during the day, and I would block out my windows so it was like a cave, so I could sleep during the day.
Really?
You know, I would get home like at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and my friend Joanne, she called me like at I think it was 8:30, quarter to 9, right at 9 o'clock, and I answered the phone with, "This better be good," because I had just gotten to sleep.
Oh.
And she's like, "Can you believe what's going on in the world today?" And I said, "What else is new? You got to be a little more specific." And then she said, "No, turn on the TV."
What a shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a shock. And now, where were you specifically?
I was at home sleeping.
But I mean, here in Florida?
Yeah, yeah. Here and, you know, Florida. And then when you see those, you know, now there's so many replays and shows about 9/11. I tell you that same feeling, that gut-wrenching feeling is still there today when you see those episodes.
It'll never go away.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
I think it's like our fathers and grandfathers, whenever they saw the Arizona being
blown up in Pearl Harbor. It was the same feeling as when those planes were coming in.
Yeah. And I've watched that movie Pearl Harbor, and I know they can't, duplicate exactly what was going on. But that even, the way that was horrific, you know, what happened in Pearl Harbor. I mean, it was just a non-stop, they just didn't stop.
They
kept going, but, the 9/11 thing, it's just, sometimes I see that, and there's been many spinoffs of, the president's story when they followed W around after 9/11 or during 9/11 and Giuliani and stuff like that, documentaries about what they were doing on that day and stuff. And I think the one thing that sticks out is the faces of the people that were actually, there at where the towers once stood, and to see people either jumping or falling had to be probably the worst thing they've ever seen in their lives.
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right. I was driving into where I was working in Montgomery, Alabama at the time, and I did not have the radio on, and I did not know what was occurring until I got to my place of business and saw all of these people huddled around this television in this little room, watching it. And that's when I learned something had happened in New York. And everybody in the building walked around like they were kind of zombies after that. I mean, you know what I mean? People, their minds were not focused at all on their work. There was just nothing. There was no way anything was going to get done in that office. So they eventually let all of us go. One of the other reasons they did, we were on a high, we were in the tallest building in Montgomery, which is not saying much. Right. It was a bank building, and we were at one of the top floors, and they said, you know what? Because not knowing what was going on, they said, we're going to clear everybody out of the building.
I think that that was probably the first and worst horrific event in our history, probably the world, that you actually saw it unfold live on TV. You know, the Pearl Harbor, you know, there were no cameras and stuff like, broadcasts or anything like that. So this was the one where you actually saw it, and then to see, it unfold with, now this, we know this is terrorist attack because this is the second plane at the tower. And then to see the towers fold.
Right.
It just wasn't over, and then the cleanup.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. Know. We've never had so many millions of people experience the trauma of the event.
And the faces of people, snapshots of people covering their mouths and their eyes and crying and seeing it coming down.
And all, remember that completely blinding dirt smoke
concrete,
coming up as people running through it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was really something we will never forget. Anyway, we are going to take our break. When we come back, Neville Kramer is going to talk to us about how conditions have evolved in our security, both at the border and immigration in general, right after this.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey there, I'm Lynn About Town. Are you looking for something different for your talk radio? Then tune in to our show, Talk of the Town, every Tuesday night from 5 to 5:30. Stay up to date with what's happening in your Tampa Bay. Hear from my special guests, get the cool event news, or call in to become part of the conversation. Whatever your poison, I promise you, this one won't kill you, but it'll definitely make you feel good. Talk of the Town, where good guys and good news meet. See you Tuesday at 5 p.m.
The Brian Cash Claus Radio Show. More business for your business every Thursday at 106.1 FM, 1340 AM. Local business owners, listen up. We direct more customers through your doors with a printed coupon book and radio show. More business for your business. Call 727-600-4889. That's 727-600-4889. 800-400-4889.
Talking Sports moved to Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 4 and joining forces with Knockout Radio to become one. We will continue to talk all sports with a heavy dose of MMA and bare knuckle boxing. The longest running MMA radio show and the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay come together every Wednesday from 2 to 4. If you can walk the walk, then listen to us talk the talk. Sponsored by 8 Man Strong and Stafsa.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray.
Join us. Neville is an immigration enforcement consultant. It's a nice way of saying he's a security consultant, both for businesses and for countries, as a matter of fact. We've had him on many, many times over the years, and I cannot think of a more, the best person to talk with on a day like today. Neville, how are you? Nice to be talking with you again.
Great, Paul. Great to be back on the show. And thanks for the invitation. Much appreciated.
Our pleasure, of course. Want to talk to you a little bit about this day and kind of the evolution of our security in this country, both at the border and perhaps, at all the ports of entry here. But before we do, I want to ask you your take on John Bolton, who has either, depending upon how you you read it, he's either quit or was fired by President Trump. First of all, he was kind of hawkish man, perhaps more hawkish than Trump. But your thoughts on that departure?
Well, I think he represents one of the biggest failings of the Trump administration, and that is that the president keeps hiring advisors who have an incredible capacity of being both very intelligent and then flat out dumb at the same time. They're working for a man who has a very unique way of governing and being president, and you can line them up: Kelly, Mattis, Scaramucci, Bolton. There are many of them, and they all have the same problem, and that is that they're smart people. They have their way of doing things, and they think they're going to walk in there and tell Trump what to do, and he's not a guy who does that. He has his own way. He listens to people, and then he makes his decision. And these are people, and especially guys like Bolton, who feel as though they're right and everyone else is wrong. And he's a hawk, and he's not going to look. There's people that are involved in politics, Paul, in D.C. for who said that marriage wasn't going to last more than 6 months, and I guess it hasn't. So.
Yeah, it's well. Actually, I think he did last about 14 months. That's pretty good, in some cases.
Yeah, but at the end, he was being excluded from meetings that he should have been at, and so he may have been there in person, but he wasn't there as far as a representative of the administration.
I got the impression, at some point when Trump first came on the scene, that he was more hawkish. And then when he hired Bolton, I got the idea, well, you know, Bolton may share the same values. But apparently Trump wanted to do business with people in North Korea, people in China. And I guess Bolton was more hands-off. You know, we can't trust them. Don't even bother. Sort of 180-degree difference there, right?
Yeah, Trump is unique in that way, and if you've been involved in the diplomatic community as I have for many, many years, the reaching out to the right people and shaking hands and sitting down with them is something that they agree with some people, and then they adamantly oppose it with others. And Trump doesn't oppose it with anybody. So Trump just feels as though, look, I'm going to go talk to this guy and I'm going to meet him, and what happens happens. And the diplomatic community and the military community are just not, have never had that state of mind.
Right.
When it comes to our enemies, they don't want to sit down.
So today is the 18th anniversary of 9/11, and wanted to talk with you, Neville, about the evolution of our border security, both along Mexico, and also our actual security at our ports. You've been involved. You were involved with border security on our southern border for a long time, and you, I think, as much or more than anybody else, could give us a kind of a handle on. Do you think we have evolved positively on that area?
Yes, and resource-wise, we have. Everybody asks me the same question first off, and that is do we need the wall? And the answer is in some areas, yes, we need the wall. But the wall is about 10 to 15% of the answer. And no one seems to be dealing with the other 85% of the answer. So Homeland Security, I want to make this comment first about what happened on 9/11. The terrorists never dreamed that they were going to change the United States the way they have. And with one organization in particular, and that's the creation of the Department of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. It's a quarter of a million people in about 10 or 12 different agencies, and it was supposed to break down the communication barriers that allowed the attacks to happen. I'll just give you one example. When the terrorist attacks occurred in San Bernardino, California in December 2015, the supervisor in charge of the local Citizenship and Immigration Services offices refused to allow the ICE agents into her office to review the immigration files of the suspected terrorists.
So in other words, it worked in opposite. Homeland Security has made everything even more bureaucratic?
Absolutely. It's worse than you could ever imagine. I mean, Secretary Jay Johnson was on CBS the other day, and he said that he thinks, and I'm quoting him, that DHS is overly politicized. Well, that's brilliant, Secretary Johnson. And the next revelation is going to be that there's a lot of ice in the North Pole. Okay, I mean, this thing is a mess. And as far as their resources are concerned, they burned up huge resources. There's now 20,000 Border Patrol agents, and they don't even have anybody running the Border Patrol. There's an acting this and an acting that and acting this. And Homeland Security is a nightmare. The people that work there are dedicated. Most of them are dedicated employees, and they're hardworking. But the politics in that place is just incredible, and it's really going to impact our security in the long run.
So we should get rid of the Department of Homeland Security, right? How do we pick up the pieces from that? What do we do?
Well, go back and break up the one aspect, of course, which I'm familiar with. I mean, I did it for 26 and a half years, is immigration. So let me just deal with that in and of itself. It impacts almost every single cabinet-level agency in the United States. You talk about agriculture, you talk about labor, you talk about the State Department. Immigration impacts all of them. And yet it's been relegated now to three smaller agencies within the Department of Homeland Security, and every single one of them, I'll name them, Citizenship and Immigration Services, Customs and Border Protection, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. All of three of them are inept, and they're separate. They're not talking to each other. And I could give you example after example of how badly these things are run.
Is Trump aware of this?
Yeah, I think he is.
Is he prepared to do something about it?
No. Because the answer is quite simple. It's to take immigration and make it a cabinet-level agency. And everything that has to do with immigration and border security and our inspections and all the, and visas and asylum and all the rest of it falls under one cabinet-level agency. That's what they need to do, and they won't do it. It'll never happen.
That's very discouraging. We're talking with Neville Kramer, and he knows what he's talking about. He is an immigration consultant. For many, many years, he was a border agent. He wrote a great book, by the way, Immigration Chaos, and I highly recommend it. I don't know if it's still in print or not, Neville, but can people get it on online or anything?
Yeah, they can get it on Amazon, and in the Kindle version is available. And they can go to my website, www.immigrationchaos.com, and they can get it from me directly if they want it. It's 12 years old, but it, about 90% of it, Paul. By the way, I thank you for your support of the book. In all the time that we've known each other, it's about still 90% accurate as far as what's going on in the country. Yeah.
Okay, so now we've got. We've got all kinds of things. I mean, it's almost every day there is something going on with Democrats fighting Donald Trump in his attempts to make our southern border more secure. I personally believe that that's going to be perhaps the biggest issue in the election, in the presidential election. I don't know. I think it could be a tsunami for Trump because I think most people are on Trump's side. They want to see more security there. I want to get your feeling on that.
Well, if the Republicans are smart, what they will do is they will get a tape of the Democratic candidate standing on the podium, and the question comes up, how many of you will give health care to illegal immigrants? And every single one of them raised their hand.
Yes. Right. Okay. And you're right about that, Neville. They will. Yeah. The Republicans will.
That's all
you need,
Paul. And I guarantee you that there's just people in the reasonable people in this country, and we have about 325 million of them. They're just going to sit there and say, I just don't agree with that. I mean, I know a lot of people who don't have health care, and you people are crazy.
Yes, and that's why I think it's going to be. I mean, and like you say, the Republicans would be nuts not to to highlight that, and I think they will. I think Trump's going to highlight it. Now, we just had a couple of elections in North Carolina. They were congressional elections. They both went back. They both went Republican. One of them was considered to be a possible bellwether. This guy Dan Bishop, GOP state senator, who was elected. And another GOP House candidate, Greg Murphy. So I don't know if that bodes well for Trump or not, but Trump had Trump visited North Carolina, and I'm just thinking.
Boy,
he
sent it. He went down there. Pence went down there. His son went down
there. Yeah, it worked.
It worked. 3,000, 4,000 votes difference, 2 percentage points, and they won. The Democrats and a lot of people are saying that Trump won it by such a big margin that it wasn't really a win. But look, a win is a win. The guy's a congressman, and that's it.
So on this day, Neville, what should we take out of the fact that 18 years ago this happened, and here we are today? Donald Trump is president. He's trying to make our country more secure. We are better off today than we were 18 years ago, your opinion?
Yes, in some ways, but let me just finish by saying this. First of all, commercial aviation was always going to be a target. So they want to keep up, making certain that the flying public is safe. But there's a much, much bigger worry that we have to have in this country, and Homeland Security is not doing that much about it. And that is that, unfortunately, the thing that we have to be concerned with is our electrical system and the technical infrastructure that runs it. And unfortunately, we have thousands of spies in the United States who we've imported, who are working with our enemies, and they're hoping that they can possibly create chaos in the United States by interrupting our electrical grid and our electrical system. People don't realize how devastating that can be and how fast that can work to turn each other, all of us against each other. Because within 7 to 14 days, if our electricity goes down, considering how much we depend upon computers and so forth, it could be 7 to 14 days we'll be attacking each other for food, water.
I can't even imagine how bad it could be. But like you say, I mean, it would be total panic and chaos, wouldn't it?
Well, that's where the terrorists are going.
Wow.
They know that the World Trade Centers came down. Aviation and flying airplanes into landmarks isn't going to be their target anymore. They're much more sophisticated than that, and that's where they realize that we have a weak point.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. I think that will be... another discussion we might have down the road. But I want to thank you, Neville, for being with us again. Neville Kramer, immigration enforcement consultant, a good buddy of mine, and hope to talk with you again soon, Neville.
You bet, Paul. Thanks very much, and have a great week and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, my friend. Neville Kramer.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get the people's point of view as Andrew, the master barber, will join us with his barber pole.
Nothing you could take can tear me away from my guy. Nothing you could do, cause I'm stuck like glue to my guy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay, get excited. The Voice and the Pinhead Show every Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. I'm the Pinhead, Rob Wild, and the voice is Jerry Barisano. So whether you got healthier, lighter, richer, or poorer listening to Tan Talk all week, we guarantee we'll put a smile on your face as we give you our unique slant on news, sports, and entertainment. We'll also have some very unique, exciting guests.
Initialize sequence.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox.
This is Kelly Preston. I'm so excited.
Hey, this is Vern Sawyer.
I'm Kirstie Alley.
I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reiss on Hollywood Connection.
Lights, camera, action.
Hollywood Connections is here to help you get connected in show business.
So get connected and listen to Hollywood Connections, Fridays, 8 to 9 p.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Enjoy.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And delighted to have back, speaking of having back, Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, of course, is helping sponsor our program. And by the way, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you got to get to his shop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It's just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. You get a great haircut at a price that cannot be beat. It's Andrew's Master Barber Shop. And Andrew, it's a delight to have you back. I was... you know, on this very solemn day, 9/11, lots of things that we could talk about. But I want to get maybe your handle, because you really have a kind of a hand on the pulse of mainstream America. And what it's, you know, what are your thoughts today, 18 years after 9/11?
You know, Paul, it's amazing because, first of all, let me say it's good to be back. But, you know, it's amazing. 18 years ago today, I was cutting somebody's hair with a television right in front of us. And it happened to be that the gentleman in my chair, his name was Mike Caricchio, and he was a captain for Continental Airlines. And he just took the red-eye flight out of Logan International Airport, got into Tampa Airport, and came to the barbershop to get his hair cut. He was sitting in my chair at the time the first plane hit. And we saw it on television. He said, there's just something's wrong because that's not even in the flight pattern. You can't go anywhere near there. Okay?
Yeah.
And he says, my God, that could have been my flight.
Oh,
it was amazing
goodness.
That I was that close to what happened at that time. But, you know, they always say, and let's face the facts, Pearl Harbor was bad. Okay? But Pearl Harbor was hit. It was a territory of the United States at that time. And it was devastating. However, this was an attack on our own homeland, okay, in the Big Apple, New York City. Which I don't call it the Big Apple anymore. I call it the Crab Apple. But that's
yes.
Beside the point, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. That threw the American people very close that day. The stores all ran out of American flags. You remember?
Yes,
what
I
happened,
know.
What happened in those 18 years to tear this country in half the way it has?
So you see it as what I call a schism, a big slice right through the heart 18 years later.
That's right. That's right. I mean, look at what this country's turned into, divided in half, and for what? You know, you look at all these little small groups. They all want to be noticed. The American people need to join together and run this great country that it is and realize that they're American.
Do you think...
I mean, you see the people that they're putting in Congress these days. We're being attacked from within. I'm sorry. Anybody who doesn't believe so is wrong. I mean, I forgot what state it was the other day that a Muslim senator was elected. And they said we can be attacked within. And that's what's happening. This is our own government. Look at Ilhan Omar. This is an American congresswoman doing the things she does, saying what she says. Somebody did something. Give me a break. The American people know who did what. But yet, the American people forget, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Well,
terrible.
18 years ago, I think the thought of having a Muslim in Congress would have been, like, unbelievable because we would be just coming out of this horrible event. But today, like Ilhan Omar and Rashish Tlaib, two of them, both have Muslim backgrounds. And, of course, we're a country that accepts and appreciates all religions.
That's right.
And so
that's
we,
right. But,
mm-hmm.
but
go ahead.
You know, for the few bad apples here that are involved, they're destroying it for everybody, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of bad apples is all it takes to spoil the whole bunch. There was a song written about that years ago.
Yeah, that's true. I think, was it the Jackson 5 that sang it?
That's right. One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch.
I think it was. So there was some good news for Donald Trump and the Republicans yesterday. North Carolina. Did you see
that's
that?
That's right. It's about time.
Two congressional elections, special elections. A little bit of a harbinger, do you think, of what's coming in the presidential race? What do you think?
Paul, let me tell you something, Paul. These Democrats don't have one leg to stand on whatsoever. Look at what they're talking about. Health care for the illegal immigrants. Remember Barack Obama wanted to charge the American people who didn't have insurance $750 apiece? You remember that one?
Yes.
Okay, well, how come they want to give it to the illegal immigrants for free? Doesn't charity begin at home, Paul?
I tell you what, we were just talking about with Neville Cramer the fact that all of those Democratic presidential candidates on the stage raised their hand when they were asked if they would provide government benefits to illegal immigrants. And I thought to myself when I saw that, that is going to put the kibosh on any chance they have in the White House.
That's right. I would run, if I was the Republican Party, I would run that as a commercial for Trump. And you know what else I would run?
What's that?
I would run Oprah Winfrey 25 years ago in 1984 when she was interviewing Donald Trump and telling him, are you going to ever run for president? And he said, only if our country would need me, okay?
Yes.
And she says, well, you need to because you would make a great president. They need to run Oprah Winfrey saying that. Believe me. I would pay to see that one.
You know, I didn't think of that, but that would be a good one to run. What if they asked her today, what do you think of Donald Trump? Would you want that run?
I would run that right in front of her face, believe
okay.
me.
Okay. Well,
no question. You know, Paul, I got another question for you. How many times was this country hit with terrorist attacks from other countries? Okay, I'm not talking about our local terrorists here, these kids that are all going goofy. I'm talking about the Boston bombing, okay? There was about three or four times we got hit when Barack Obama was president. How come now, since Donald Trump has been president, nothing has happened?
Well, I'm trying to think. You're right. I cannot think of a terrorist attack per se. We've had these horrible mass shootings, but I guess they are not...
That's not considered. Those are local terrorists.
Yeah, those are local.
That's got to be dealt with another way. I got my answers for that one. Believe me, maybe the next show.
Well, speaking of that, I happen to have something that may be of interest to you, Andrew. By the way, we're talking with Andrew, the master barber, and he's got the best barber shop in Tampa Bay. I guarantee it. Best haircut you can get in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. But Andrew, the leading indicator of gun sales jumped last month, August, driven in part by Americans seeking self-protection and deep concerns that Democrats are going to push through expanded gun control. Now, it says here that they used the National instant criminal background check system as a harbinger. And the overall number of background checks went up almost 16%, which means that many more people were applying for guns. What do you think?
Well, you know, people are nervous. People are afraid. It's that simple. The Democrats, listen, gun control isn't going to be passed. It's not going to happen. It's part of our Constitution. All right? Now, if you want to control what's happening with these mass shootings, Paul, it's not the guns. It's the people. Again, we need to talk about the drugs in another show. But if you check all these young kids out that are doing this, they've all been on these psychotic drugs because they told them they were hyperactive since they were kids. We had to put them on Ritalin. And they were 17, 18 juniors in high school. Well, Ritalin's not strong enough. We need to put them on Prozac. Okay? These kids are all legal drug addicts. And if you look at the side effects to these drugs that they're taking, it leads to what they're doing.
It's very, very scary. What's all this attacking the NRA about?
They got to go after something, Paul. They have to have someone to talk about.
But, you know, it's never an NRA member that's responsible for any of this stuff.
No, and it's never a legal gun carrier. How many people do you see, regular civilians, that are packing their guns for their, you know, their protection to their family?
Right.
You don't see that happening. It's all the people. It's all these younger people. They're on psychotic drugs, getting the guns illegally, okay? And this is what's happening. But you know what? They know that nothing's going to happen to them either. They'll be in jail 25 years down the road. But I can tell you what, if they wanted to put a hinder on this mass shooting, do a couple public hangings on primetime television.
Yes.
And I can guarantee you that the shootings will stop.
Well, that would it would make for great ratings.
Yeah, it'd be better than the Wheel of Fortune, wouldn't it?
I think it might be. I think
it'd get a lot more attention, and the mass shootings would stop.
I know what I didn't understand, and it is a tragedy what's going on with Walmart and people going in and shooting people up. Is that Walmart came out last week and said it's asking customers not to bring firearms into the store and display them publicly. Well, those aren't the people that are shooting the place up. And you think these weirdos are going to conform to those? Oh, can't go into Walmart, bring my gun, even though you're planning on going doing some disastrous deed in there. And you know what? Maybe one time that one of these wackos meets up with a guy that does have a concealed weapon and takes him out before he does any harm.
That's right. You know, it goes back to the old saying, Ed, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
because
very simple.
The bad guy's not going to follow any gun rules. This is so stupid. It's the people that you never worry about that are going to follow.
This is a gun-free zone. Oh, can't go in there.
Exactly.
And, you know, there were also some famous words uttered during World War II. I believe it was by Hirohito. Was he Emperor Hirohito?
Yeah, Hirohito. Yeah.
Emperor Hirohito, he said, "We can never attack the mainland America because we'll be a weapon under every blade of grass."
Well, he was probably right at that time.
Yeah, he was right at that time, and he's right today if that was to happen.
Believe me. Very interesting. Well, my friend, it is always a pleasure. It's so great to be back with you, Andrew.
Paul, it's great to be back on, and I'll tell you, there's a lot to talk about. We've got to keep going, and you know what? Thank God we got Donald Trump as a president.
Well, I tell you what, we are going to pick up where we left off on Friday with you, my friend. So until then, thank you so much.
You got it, Paul. Be good, buddy.
All right. There he goes. Andrew, the master barber. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to tell you who are the top 10 highest paid actors in Hollywood.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Hey, listeners, tune in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars Tuesdays at 7 p.m. I play some groovy 60s, 70s music and talk about far-out cars. I'll bring you up to speed on some bitchin' car shows, swap meets, and vintage racing. So join us Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Listen to my interviews with special car guys, celebrities, racers, builders, customizers, and collectors. We'll discuss cars, auctions, values, restoration, project cars, and parts. We'll have featured cars. We'll talk about test drives. We'll include topics on boats, planes, and vintage musical instruments. So tune in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final quarter of Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Gosh, it's great to be back here and see all the same wonderful people. Kind of like it's in a time warp, as a matter of fact. But anyway, it's a delight. And I want to mention again that Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. We're going to have Andrew on every Wednesday and Friday and talk with him about what's going on, not only across the country, but here locally in Tampa Bay as well. But get to his barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza. That's in Dunedin. And it is just north of Route 580 / Main Street. It's called Main Street there. On Overcash Drive. And you'll get a great haircut. It's going to be a price that cannot be beat. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, you know, the Democrats apparently are trying desperately to make you think that we're going to fall into a recession any day now. And yet, look, job report is great. In fact, the new job report is in. And this is, I'm reading from a Fox News report on this the other day, written by a guy by the name of Andy Puzzer. He says, no one should believe a single word the Democrats are saying about the economy. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the number of people employed in August went up by 590,000 people. That's a lot of people. 590,000. It's pushed our total employment in this country to a record 158 million people. 158 million people are working. The percentage of the population that was employed rose to 61%. Now, that is the highest in 11 years. So don't believe what you hear from Democrats that a recession and trouble in the stock market is right around the corner. First of all, they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, they do have a reliable source.
Oh.
Yeah, they have this crystal ball,
yes.
And then there's a Ouija board next to it. And if the two align, when the sun is in a certain point in the sky and it casts a shadow, it means that bad times are coming.
Yeah, it's very accurate. Very accurate. That's what the Democrats rely on. Well, so, you know, things are going very well. And average hourly earnings went up. I mean, you know, what else? And so when Trump says, what the hell do you have to lose, you know, by electing me and increasing employment? He's right. And every single group of people are more employed, including women and African Americans. I mean, it's really been good news. And, you know, they always say it's the economy. It's the economy that it's the first thing. Now, when the economy is good, people sometimes just take it for granted. But when the economy is bad, they don't forget. Since the economy is good, that's definitely in Trump's favor. But they may take it a little bit for granted because, what, it'll have been 4 years of a good economy? I'm assuming that, you know, the economy stays the way it is when we get to November of 2020. And if that's 4 years of good economy, people do get, you know, it's like anything else. You get used to it. You get used to it. So now it's not your priority. But what's the other priority? I think it's going to be the immigration issue. I really believe that most people in this country are outraged, because most of the Democrats, certainly Pelosi and Schumer, were always calling for border security before Trump got elected. Now they've gone 180 degrees different. Now they want open borders. And they will crucify you if you try to build a wall. It's so stupid. It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, I think it is time, Ed. What do you think for our top 10? We're getting there anyway.
I think I know who it is.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see. It's about...
He's got... His name is one word.
I'm not going to tell you.
Something's
I'm not
going to
tell you. I'm not going to tell you. But I think... Here, let's go to it. These are the top 10 highest paid actors and how much they made between June 1st of last year and June 1st of this year, okay? So this is according to Forbes magazine. So I think it's pretty accurate. Now, Forbes said that it calculated each actor's earnings using one, two, three, four, five criteria, which I won't mention because nobody cares about it. But these are the top 10, and these are, by the way, just I'll give you a big hint. They're all men in this case, okay? We're not going to include the women. We'll have to find the women's top 10 sometime later. But these are the men.
Mm.
All right, so here we go. Number 10, Will Smith. Now, has Will Smith made a recent movie that you know?
Yeah, actually, he just did the Aladdin movie.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, the remake. Yeah, he just did that.
Is he just a voice, or is he the...
No, he's
Aladdin?
Yeah.
Oh,
he is Aladdin.
Okay.
He is Aladdin.
Okay, well, $35 million in this past year. Not bad. Number 9, Paul Rudd.
Okay, he's good.
Now, Paul Rudd, what has he appeared in?
He's been in, this is 40, he's been in...
I'm trying to picture the guy. Is he in these action movies and stuff like that?
No. He's comedy. More. Yeah, he's more comedy than anything else.
All right, no problem. Well, he made $41 million being funny. How's that sound?
Yeah. Last American Virgin. Not Last American. 40-Year-Old Virgin, he was in that.
Okay. I thought Madonna was in that one.
No. That'd be 50.
50-Year-Old. 60-Year-Old Virgin. All right. Number 8, Chris Evans.
I don't know who that is.
Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. That name is so bland, I can't imagine. I probably got 3 or 4 different people coming up. Well, he made $43.5 million doing whatever he did. Not bad. All right. There was a tie for the next one, so we're going to make it number 6 twice. All right. Number 6 is Adam Sandler. Now, I thought he was sort of passé, Adam Sandler, but he's apparently still showing up.
Mm.
Have you seen him recently?
Now, does that, because he produces too, so is that
okay?
Is that acting and producing, or just acting?
It says here the top 10 highest paid actors, but you know what? You know what? That's a good question. I would think that they might include his money that he, I'm sure, because it's $57 million.
I haven't seen him in a lot of movies, but I know he's been directing a lot.
Yeah. All right. And tied with him at number 6 is Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bradley Cooper, I have seen in action movies. And he's also worth $57 million. He made several movies. Wasn't he in this movie called The Sniper? Was it called The Sniper? And they went over to...
Don't know if that was Bradley Cooper or not.
Okay. Well, they went over to one of the Mideastern countries, and he was a sniper. Mm. Maybe not. Okay, number 5. And this is resurrecting somebody. Jackie Chan.
Really?
Jackie Chan.
Okay.
And he made a movie not long ago where he's an older guy and he has a daughter, then he has to go after her to save her. But Jackie Chan made $58 million.
Wow.
And that's, like you say, it might also be producing and directing, that kind of thing. Number 4. No idea who this is. Akshay Kumar.
No idea.
We better find out, because he made $65 million. Akshay Kumar, you know, maybe he's one of those guys that appears in every single terrorist movie as a bad guy.
Maybe.
Akshay Kumar. Sounds like that. Somewhat Mideastern. Oh, well. Number 3. And this is kind of an interesting one. Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I can see that because he's paid a lot for those Avenger movies and the Iron Man. Stuff. Yeah. And the last one that was just out, I guess that is the last one.
Is that?
Yeah, that's supposed to be the last one.
Have you seen any of those Iron Man movies?
I keep trying, and I either fall asleep or I just get bored.
Really?
Yeah, and I love Iron Man. I could watch that all day. But so, I did the Avengers, the last whatever it is, the last, the end game.
That's there's so many of them there. Now, you know, yeah. So many. Oh, by the way, did you know that there's a John Wick 3 movie?
Oh, really?
It's coming out.
Okay.
With Keanu Reeves?
Keanu.
Well, Keanu to you. Keanu to me. Keanu. It sounds so exotic. Where is he from, Hawaii?
I don't know.
Keanu. Yeah, you're right. It is Keanu. Okay. Where were we? Oh, we're at number two. Chris Hemsworth.
Wow.
I think he's a comedian.
Okay, there's a lot that I could say should be on here.
Well,
Thor,
you're about to get your chance. But anyway, Chris Hemsworth, he made $76.4 million.
That's another one of the Avengers.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of spin-offs to those
things.
Yes,
there are. Yeah. Are they still doing things like Captain America?
Yep.
How about Batman?
Batman's getting a little old.
How about Superman?
No, him too.
Yes.
They had one movie where they fought each other.
They're both 90 years old, for goodness sake.
There was one where they fought each other. I don't know who won and who lost and who's not with us anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. They keep coming and going, don't they? All right. Ed, this is your chance. Who do you think is the number one Hollywood highest paid actor?
It has to be The Rock.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
The number one highest paid actor is Dwayne Johnson.
That is Dwayne Johnson.
I know it is.
God, come
I
on.
Know it is. I know it is.
See, I was wondering, where's Mark Wahlberg? He's done a bunch of
He's
movies.
Not in here.
Great movies.
He must be taking a hiatus.
Chris Pratt. There's so
that's
many.
Another guy that's not. Oh, you know what? They're probably in the top 20, though.
Yeah.
They're probably. Well, I want to tell you that Dwayne The Rock Johnson made $89.4 million. Now, is he a producer and a director also?
No, he's more of an actor.
Yeah, he is more of an actor.
Here's something. You know who the biggest payout for endorsements is?
Who?
Who's making, I think, about $150 million a year for endorsements? Shaquille O'Neal. He's into everything. He's now the face of Papa John's Pizza.
Is he?
He is... He does the general, the auto.
I remember.
He's so likable, and he's just at the height. He loves what he's doing, and
no, I don't blame
him. I saw
him.
A documentary. He just loves it, you know.
You know, make a few commercials a year, and you get paid that much.
You think he'd spread it around a little bit?
You would think. You would think. Well, my friends, thank you so much for joining us here on Freedom Works.
By the way, real quickly, Wilbur said to say hi. Would love to come back someday.
Who?
Wilbur.
Wilbur.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to get Wilbur back. Stay tuned for the Craft Beer Hour with hosts Kenny and Bill right after the news. Thank you for joining us back on Friday. Always remember, freedom works.
Right.